我们的这个事工的名字叫做西安之光，我们的网站是有中英文的。
lightofzion.org。
那这个网站地址叫做 lightofzion.org。
On the website, you'll find all kinds of resources, not only numerous articles on all kinds of topics, but also intercessory prayer guides.
那在我们网站上有很多的资源啊，除了很多的信息以外，还有啊怎样代祷的这个指导。
And because of our faithful translators, they are all available in Chinese as well.
因为我们有很多中心的翻译者，所以这些都是有中文的。
If you access the Chinese website, please pray for our Chinese translators.
如果你去读这个中文网站的时候，请也为我们的这个翻译者们祷告。
They are wonderful and faithful and busy servants of God.
他们是又忠心但是又忙碌的这些神的仆人。
If you'd like to sign up for our newsletters, there's a sign-up sheet on the book table in the foyer.
如果你们愿意接到我们事工的那个信的话，那么请你在外面把你的 email 注册一下。
And you'll be able to receive the newsletters, especially in Chinese.
那你们就会收到我们事工的那个信息，尤其是有中文的信。
Because in English now, we're also blogging and we're on Facebook and we're also tweeting on Twitter.
因为在英文里面我们有更多有脸书啊，有推特啊这些的。
And if you like brief, concise prayer points for the day, then you might want to sign up for our Twitter.
如果你希望有一些每天定时的这些简短的祷告事项的话，你最好是上我们的推特。
And you can access all of that through our website.
啊，这都可以去我们的网站上寻找。
We have a couple of books out on the book table that you've probably noticed.
那你们可能看到我们刚才外面的书桌上面有几本书。
My most recent book is called Why Still Care About Israel.
我最近这本书的名字叫做《为什么还要关心以色列》。
It was just published about a month ago.
一个月前刚刚出版。
And it's a almost completely revised update of my original book that was published 10 years ago.
它实际上它是一个几乎是全新的重写了我十年前的那本书。
I don't usually say this about my own books, but I think probably everybody in this room would want to read this book.
我一般不会这样讲，但是的确这本书我在想说，可能每一个人应该读一下。
If you care enough about Israel to come out on a Saturday night,
尤其是当你这么关注以色列，愿意在星期六的晚上出来的话，
then you probably know that there's a lot of anti-Israel sentiment and theology in the world today.
那你可能已经知道在今天世上有许多反对以色列的这些情绪和这些教导。
And this book specifically addresses those issues that are circling the globe now, but really weren't so controversial 10 years ago.
所以这本书里面特别针对这些如今特别广泛在全世界传播的这些理论，但是十年前还没有出来。
And because I used to be an attorney, I've extensively documented everything.
因为我以前是做律师的，所以我做了很详尽的记录。
There are plenty of endnotes at the back of the book, but there are also additional endnotes online.
我在书后面也加了很多的注释和引用，那在网站上有更多的。
The book has its own website, whystillcareaboutisrael.com.
根据这个书名，为什么还要关心以色列？它本身这个书有一个网站。
And so there's hundreds of notes that you can access yourself if you would like.
所以你可以到那网站上，可以看到更多的这些注释。
And also that will help equip you to be sharing about God's heart for Israel to those who don't yet have an understanding of God's heart for Israel.
这些资源也能够帮助你更好装备你，向那些还没有为按照神的心意来关注以色列的人，来向他们传播这个信息。
The other book that's out there is called Israel's Anointing.
那第二本书呢，就是以色列的恩膏。
And that book is different.
这本书完全是不一样的。
That book talks about last days anointings that have been placed on Israel.
这本书里面讲到在末日在以色列上身上要所加注的这个恩膏
that stem there, that,、that God is、in a sense resurrecting、from ancient wells for today for the whole body of Christ
讲到说神他可以比方说他是将那个古时的那个旧井要把它重新、复兴起来要给今天的这个基督的肢体
How your destiny is linked with Israel's ancient heritage
而你们的这个命定是跟以色列的远古的这个、传承是连接起来的
As we come closer to the return of the Lord
尤其是当我们越来越接近主的再来
So it's more of a one new man kind of book
所以这本书其实主要主题是就比较像说是讲到说、一个新人
And then just one more question、
最后还有一个问题
Don't translate this How many of you can understand me? How many of you, yes, how many of you can understand me? All right, almost everybody Okay No, I think there's a few that don't But it just means that if I can make certain jokes in English and not worry about how they're going to sound in Chinese.
他问是因为他说他可以用英文讲讲笑话，大多数人能够听懂。那我就不会翻译那个笑话了。I said I won't be translating the jokes, maybe.
Okay. Well, let's just open again, with prayer. Lord, we just thank you for your presence tonight.
主，我们感谢你今天晚上的同在。
I thank you, Lord, that you will uniquely meet each person here.
感谢你要一一的来啊满足我们每一个人的需要。
That you will release to them more of your heart.
你要向他们倾注你更多的心意。
More of your holy fire.
你更多的那个圣洁的火。
Deeper, a deeper understanding.
一个更深的了解。
A gift to communicate that understanding.
也要加给他们那个恩赐，能够将这个他们所理解的去传播。
And use each one here, Lord.
使用这里每一个人，主啊。
To help prepare the way together with Israel for your return.
要和以色列一同预备主你再来的道路。
Thank you for your anointing on Stephanie.
感谢你在我们身上的恩膏。
That we would be as one hearing from you, Lord.
叫我们如同一人听见你的声音。
In Yeshua's name, Amen.
奉耶稣的名 ，Amen.
How many of you believe that we are approaching the end times?
你们中间多少人相信我们正在接近的末日
？In Matthew chapter 24,
在马太福音二十四章。
Yeshua's disciple. Yeshua is Hebrew for Jesus.
啊，希伯来文，耶稣就是 Yeshua.
Yeshua's disciples ask him, "What will the sign of the end times be?"
耶稣的门徒就问他，那末日的征兆是什么
？And the sign of your coming.
你再来的征兆是什么
？And Jesus tells them.
耶稣这样告诉他们。
Just looking for my watch here so I know when to stop talking. Jesus tells them, and then he tells them how to not only endure during those times, but how to stand firm and strong in him.
那耶稣就告诉他们是什么征兆，而且告诉他们不仅是要忍受，而且要在那个时候要站立得稳。
The primary sign, the primary instruction that Jesus gives to the disciples in Matthew 24 and Luke 21.
在马太福音二十四章，路加福音二十一章，耶稣给他的门徒这个主要的教导是
is do not be deceived.
就是说不要被蒙蔽。
He tells us to be at peace.
他叫我们要有平安。
We're not to be afraid of deception.
我们不要惧怕这个蒙蔽。
We're to stand firm in love and in peace. But he repeats More than any other admonition, do not be deceived.
我们要在平安 和慈爱里面站稳，但是他一再重复说，不要被蒙蔽了。
We're to be filled with Holy, overflowing with Holy Spirit, but we're also to know the word of truth.
他叫我们要被圣灵充满，而且要知道真道。
Jesus then goes on, same conversation with his disciples, to tell a parable.
在同一个谈话里面，耶稣继续讲到一个比喻。
About sheep and goats.
讲到山羊和绵羊的比喻。
And it's not just a cute story about farm animals.
当然不是关于这些动物的小故事。
He says that when the Son of Man comes, he will judge the nations as sheep nations or goat nations.
他是说到当人子再来的时候，他要审判列国，或者是山羊，或者是绵羊。
But that can also apply on an individual level as well.
这同样也可以用在个人身上。
And he says that those who are judged to be sheep will remain with the shepherd. They will enter into his father's kingdom with him.
当神断定他为绵羊的那些要和牧羊人在一起，要进入他的父那里。
But those who are goats are cast from his presence.
在那山羊的国度要被从他的面前给扔出去。
Cast away from the presence of God.For eternity.
在永恒之中从父神的面前 被扔出去。
What determines whether we're a sheep or a goat?
那由什么来决定我们是绵羊还是山羊呢？
Jesus says that those who gave him water to drink when he was thirsty, those who fed him when he was hungry, those who visited him when he was in prison, those are the sheep.
耶稣说那些他口渴了给他水喝，他需要吃的时候你给他吃，然后他在狱中你去探望他，这些是绵羊。
And the sheep will say, when did we see you in prison? When did we give you a cup of water? When did we feed you? When did we clothe you?
那绵羊会问说，主啊，我们什么时候看到你渴了给你水喝，你没有穿的，我给你穿，狱中我怎么去探望你呢？
And Yeshua says, as you have done to the least of these my brothers,You have done to me.
那耶稣就说，你坐在我最小的这个弟兄身上，就坐在我身上。
Who are his brothers?
他的弟兄是谁呢？
In context,
那从上下文来看，
even Bible scholars who are not necessarily pro-Israel pretty much agree, almost universally, that.At its fundamental meaning, these brothers of mine refer to the Jewish people.
那即便是那些不支持以色列的这些学者们，几乎所有他们的都必须认可说，这耶稣指的弟兄就是那些犹太人。
In fact, the Greek there is very clear that the reference is to a physical, like a DNA from the womb, brothers from the womb. Who are Jesus' brothers from the womb but the Jewish people?
那实际上在那个希腊文原文里面，这个弟兄是指的那个血亲的弟兄。那耶稣的血亲的弟兄实际上就是这些犹太人。
Now we know that salvation is by grace through faith.
我们都知道救恩是出于是恩典。
But here Jesus is saying that how one treats the Jewish people reflects whether or not they're saved.
但是耶稣在这里指出，那根据这个人他对犹太人的态度，可以看出他是否真的是得救的。
Now remember, this is all part of the same conversation. So one critical truth that Yeshua does not want us deceived about is God's covenant love relationship with Israel.
要记住，这个是跟刚才末日是说是一个上下文，也就是说，耶稣想要指明的是一个很重要的，就是我们和以色列的这个关系。
We know that Yeshua is returning as God, but as a Jewish man as well.
我们知道耶稣再来，他是神，但是他也是一个犹太人。
The last chapter of Revelation, he identifies himself as the offspring of David.
在启示录最后，他说自己是大卫的后裔。
In doing that, he's specifically identifying himself as a Jew when he comes back.
他这样讲，就他很明确地指明他自己再来的时候，他还是一个犹太人。
Why? Because Jews are better than anybody else? Of course not.
为什么？因为犹太人比别人都好吗？当然不是。
God does not love Jews any more than he loves any other people group.
那神爱犹太人并不比他爱另外一个人群更多。
Jews are no better, Jews are no more special than anybody else to God in his heart.
在神的眼中，犹太人并不比任何人好，也不比任何人特殊。
Why did God choose the Jews?
那为什么神拣选了犹太人呢？
For those of you that have been wondering, the answer is in Deuteronomy chapter 7.
若你还疑问的话，那个答案就在生命记第七章。
If you're taking notes, you might want to write this down.
如果你要记笔记的话，把这个写下来。
God says he loves and chose the Jews because he loves and chose the Jews.
哎，假设神他喜悦他拣选犹太人，就是因为他定义要拣选。
In other words, we don't know.
也换句话说，我们不知道。
It is a test for everybody.
就是对每一个人都是一个考验。
It's often said that God offends the mind to get at the heart.
那常常有一句话说，神冒犯一个人的头脑是为了得到他的心。
But scriptures make clear that the reason is not because the Jewish people or Israel is any better than any other nation.
但是圣经里明明白白看，我们看到说犹太人不是比别人要好。
Nevertheless, God's covenant is with the Jewish people.
然而尽管如此，但是神的约是和犹太人约定的。
And his covenant love for the Jewish people is unlike that of any other people group.
他和犹太人之间的那个约定的爱是和其他的族群是不一样的。
And over and over and over, we hear in the scriptures, we read in the scriptures about God's heart of passionate love for Israel.
一再一再的，我们在圣经里读到的是神对以色列的爱是那种充满热情的爱。
Oddly enough, whenever God expresses his deepest heart of passion and love for Israel,
但是很奇妙的是，每当神在表达他对以色列那个深切的爱的时候
，It always seems to be on the heels of Israel's grievous sin.
常常会出现在以色列那个最最最大的那个犯罪之后。
God warns Israel, rebukes Israel, judges Israel, and then declares his undying love for Israel over and over again.
所以神会警告以色列，指责他们，审判他们，但是最后又重申，一再重申他对他们的爱。
In Ezekiel chapter 16, he describes how he found Israel is a discarded infant kicking in its own blood.
在以西结里面讲到说神找到以色列的时候他好像是一个婴儿在血迹里面被抛弃的。
How he grew her up and how he clothed her with beautiful garments and treated her like a princess.
而神将这个将以色列养大又使他穿上荣华然后对他如同一个尊贵的公主。
He lavished gifts upon her and she took those gifts and ran off and became a whore.
神交给以色列众多的珍宝但是礼物但是他却拿了这一些成为一个荡妇。
And after he chastises Israel,
当神责备了以色列以后
He says, yet I will remember my covenant with you.
他又说我还是会记住我和你之间的约。
How can I forsake you? My heart longs for you.
我怎么能够撇弃你呢？因为我的心向往你。
Hosea chapter 14.
何西阿书十四章。
God has compared Israel again to a prostitute, Hosea's wife.
神再一次将以色列比为一个淫妇，就是好像何西阿的妻子。
And after he chastises her, he says, again, yet you will blossom like the lily.
当他 责备他之后，他又说，你会再一次好像百合一样盛开。
I will cause you to be wholehearted toward me.
我要使你再一次对我全心全意。
You will be beautiful and your glory will be restored to you.
你将会再一次美丽，你的荣耀要归还给你。
Jeremiah 31, Israel's been exiled.
耶利米书三十一章，以色列人被放逐了。
They've gone through the destruction of their temple.
他们经历他们圣殿被毁。
They're separated from the promised land.
他们与自己应许之地被分隔了。
Taken into captivity because of our sin.
因为他们的罪，他们被放逐。
And then God speaks.
然后神就说话。
And he says, how can I forget you, my firstborn son?
他又说，我怎么能够忘记我的头生子呢？
Yet I will restore you.
我要恢复你。
Yet you will worship me in holiness.
你要再一次以圣洁来敬拜我。
I refuse to give up until I conform you into the nation that I called you to be.
我绝不放弃你，直到我使你成为我呼召你成为的那一个。
Isaiah 49, your walls are continually before me.
以赛亚书四十九章，他说：“你的长垣常在我面前。”
I've engraved you in the palms of my hands.
我将你刻在我的掌心。
Into the New Testament, Romans 9:1.
到新约，罗马书第九章一节。
The Apostle Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, writes of God's ongoing grieving heart for Israel.
使徒保罗被圣灵充满，他写出神那一颗对神对以色列不断伤痛的心。
The same Apostle Paul who tells us to rejoice always, and again I say rejoice,
同一位使徒保罗告诉我们说我们要常常喜乐
says he has continual sorrow, unceasing anguish, according to some translations, in his heart for the Jewish people. His heart reflects God's heart.
然而这里保罗却说他有不断的忧伤为以色列的忧伤他的心也反映出神的心
And it's essential to have for us to have this to grasp this understanding of God's heart
我们能够抓住神这样一个心意是非常重要的
In these last days
尤其是在这末日
Because it's our heart of passion for God himself
因为这出于我们自己对神那个热情
that imparts to us God's heart for Israel
这才能够叫我们得着神对以色列的心意
and to the extent that we grasp the scope of God's heart for Israel you can grasp it for yourself
我们对神对以色列的心意有多少的理解我们就能够得着多少神对我们的心意
those who do not fully understand the extent of God's mercy and grace towards Israel cannot fully receive it for themselves either.
那些不能理解完全理解神对以色列的慈爱和恩典的那些人他们也没有办法理解神对他自己的那个慈爱和恩典
Because God has a covenant with you too.
因为神与你之间也有一个约
Through Abraham.
就是通过亚伯拉罕
And I think probably most of you already are familiar with the Abrahamic covenant, but I'm going to go through it just real quick in case a few of you aren't.
尽管你们可能大多都知道神与亚伯拉罕的约，但是为了有人不知道，我们再说一下。
In Genesis 12:3, God says to Abraham, "Leave your father's land and go to a land I will show you."
创世纪里面，神对亚伯拉罕说：“离开你的本家，要去我。”要指定你去的地方。
I will make you into a great nation.
我要叫你成为大国。
And through you, all families of the earth will be blessed.
通过你，全地的，全家都要得到祝福。
I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you.
我要祝福那些祝福你的，咒诅那些咒诅你的。
And then a few chapters later, chapter 15, God does something extraordinary.
然后十五章里，神做了一件很出奇特的事。
And this is important to grasp in these days when there's so much anti-Israel theology going around the church.
在如今，即使在教会里都充满了这个反以色列的这些论断的时候，尤其我们要注意。
That covenant in chapter 15 of, Genesis 15, that covenant that God cuts with Israel is unconditional in nature.
我们要记住在创世纪十五章里，神所以色列立的这个约是无条件的。
When God has Abraham slaughter animals, lay them on the ground, and then puts Abraham to sleep, God himself is holy fire, walks through the pieces of the animals.
当神要亚伯拉罕切开这些动物对半他使亚伯拉罕沉睡，神自己以火焰通过这个切开的动物立约。
In Abraham's time, this was how a covenant was cut between parties.
那在亚伯拉罕那个时代，这是他们两方立约的这个方式。
And then the parties would walk through the pieces of the animals.
立约的两方要从这个被分开的这个动物中间要走过去。
And their walking through the pieces of the animals was almost like a prophetic act of taking on the obligation and responsibility.
当他们走过这个切开的动物的尸体的时候，就好像是一个先知性的一个动作，说明他们自己这个约的责任。
But in chapter 15, only God walks through the cut up pieces.
但是在创世纪十五章，只有神自己走过了这个切开的动物。
Meaning that only God is obligated to perform anything in order for this covenant to be fulfilled.
就是说神决定只有他自己是对这个约来负责。
Meaning that any sin on the part of Abraham or his descendants could not abrogate or could not cancel the covenant.
也就是说亚伯拉罕自己或他后裔一切的罪都不能使这个约废除。
And the book of Galatians, chapter 3, Hebrews, chapter 6, reaffirm this reality.
加拉太书和希伯来书里面都再一次重申了这个约的真实性。
Saying that the law of Moses that came over 400 years later couldn't cancel out, couldn't void the covenant that God made with Abraham.
即便是四百年以后，摩西的律法也不能够取代或者废除神与亚伯拉罕所立的约。
That God couldn't swear by anything greater than himself, so he swore by himself that this covenant would be fulfilled.
神没有办法指着比他更大的任何一位来定这个约，因此他指着自己来立这个约。
In chapter 17, Isaac. Specifically, not Ishmael, God makes that very clear, inherits the Abrahamic covenant.
在创世纪十七章里面很清晰的指出是以撒而不是以实玛利是继承了亚伯拉罕与神的这个约。
And in chapter 28, God makes very clear that Jacob and not Esau inherits the covenant.
然后在28章里神又再一次清晰指出是雅各而不是以扫来继承这个约。
And then that covenant is reaffirmed many, many, many times throughout the Old Covenant scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures.
因此在旧约之中无数次的这个约无数次的被重申。
And it's reaffirmed in the New Testament as well.
在新约里面也一再被重提。
Romans 9:4.
罗马书第九章第四节。
Paul writes that Israel's is the covenants. Israel's is the promises. And the word is in Greek means is.
那保罗，使徒保罗就是说这个约这个应许是以色列的。
It's a present ongoing tense.
他用的这个动词是一个当前的一个动词。
And then Romans 11:1, Paul writes, Has God forsaken or rejected Israel? He says, No, heaven forbid.
那在希伯来书里十一章第一节，保罗说，神已经忘记他跟以色列的应许了吗？他说，绝不是。
Romans 11:29, he writes that the gifts and call of God are irrevocable. The context is Israel. He's talking about Israel. Israel's gifts and calling are irrevocable.
所以在后来在罗马书十一章里保罗又说是神的呼召是绝不反悔的，这个上下文又是讲到说是以色列。
Now the New Testament writers were all Jewish except possibly for one。
在新约里面所有的作者都是犹太人，只有一位有可能不是。
That meant that they thought Jewish。
也就是说其实他们的想法是一个犹太人的想法。
They understood the Hebrew scriptures in a Jewish or Hebraic way。
他们读希伯来的旧约是以一个希伯来的文化的背景来读的。
They interpreted the Hebrew scriptures Hebraically.
那么他们的理解和注释也是用一种希伯来背景来注释的。
And they wrote the New Testament Hebraically from a Jewish mindset.
他们即使在写新约圣经的时候，其实也是以一个希伯来的这个想法来写的。
None of them ever specifically cancels out the Abrahamic covenant when they write their New Testament.Testament letters.
当他们写新约的书信的时候，没有一个来说这个亚伯拉罕的这约已经废除了。
But before long,
但是不久之后
God's covenant with Israel was challenged by our early church fathers.
那到了早期的那个教会之父那里的呢，神与亚伯拉罕的约就开始受到挑战。
The Jewish New Testament apostles died.
那这些犹太人的这些使徒们已经逝去了。
But they had done their job well. They had gone abroad and they had led many, many, many Gentiles to the Lord.
但是他们做了他们当做的，他们四处去传播，他们带了许多外邦人信主。
And before long, Gentile believers far outnumbered Jewish believers in the church.
所以很快的，这个外邦信徒比犹太信徒远超过了。
And it's always been that way because how many of you have noticed that there are a lot more Gentiles in the world than there are Jews?
当然会这样，因为你们可以看到外邦人比犹太人远多了，多很多。
But as Gentiles began to populate the church and as Gentile leadership began to rise up,
但是当犹太信徒进入教会，犹太人信徒成为教会的领袖的时候，
they specifically rejected the Hebraic method of interpreting scriptures.
他们开始很特意的去排斥以一个希伯来的背景来理解圣经。
Very intentionally, because they were seeking a more user-friendly approach.
他们这样做是很特意故意的，因为他们想要能够更受人欢迎。
They wanted to appeal to those in the pagan cultures in which they lived.
他们想要取悦那些在他们所处的这个外邦的文化之中的那些人。
And so they developed a whole new method of interpreting the Bible.
所以他们慢慢的就形成了一个全新的对圣经的理解方式。
That rejected the traditional Hebraic approach.
从而拒绝了传统上的希伯来背景的这个对圣经的解释。
Now, the traditional Hebraic approach, we're going to go over just a little bit of that this evening.
我们今天晚上只会点到一些这个希伯来背景的这个圣经理解方式。
Because how we interpret the Bible will result in how we view God's word today about Israel.
因为我们怎样来理解圣经，就会影响到我们今天怎样来看待神和以色列的关系。
2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to study to show ourselves approved workers that need not be ashamed.
那提摩太书二章后书里面讲到说，我们要努力就是叫我们是看的是被证明是的确是合宜的工人。
God wants us to study His Word so that we can love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength.
那神要我们 学习他的话语是叫我们更好能够全心全意全人的来爱他。
Now this doesn't diminish the role of Holy Spirit at all.
这绝不是说圣灵的角色没有了。
But there within the Western Church, there has been a minimizing of the value of loving the Lord with all of our minds many times.
但是在西方教会很多时候会发现说有一些想要降低这个重要性，就是说我们也要用全心全意全意来用我们的头脑来爱神。
And God wants to restore that.
所以神要恢复这样。
The Hebraic method of understanding scriptures was first of all primarily literal, not symbolic.
希伯来背景的理解圣经，第一个就是它首先要从一个字面上的意思来解。
Now, it wasn't always exactly literal, but we could say straightforward. In other words, words that referred to a chair or a book meant a chair or a book.
不是说你就是死的一字一字的，但是基本上是说是一个直接的解经，比如说是凳子或者是一本书，那就是拿它凳子和书来理解。
God says what he means, it means what he says.
因为神说的他就一定是，如果是神说是的，一定他就这样说。
He's not trying to be tricky.
他并不是故意要使我们绊倒。
Now,God often uses allegory or metaphor or symbolism.
的确，神他常常要用这些比喻、这些抽象的比方。
But when he does not remove the plain, straightforward, ordinary meaning of his words in order to substitute them with a symbolic interpretation.
但是当他这样做的时候，他一定不会说是完全用这个抽象的这个比方来取代这个字面的直接的意思。
Only where a passage of scripture makes no sense according to its straightforward meaning.Do we interpret the scripture as primarily symbolic?
那只有当我们遇到一段经文，只有当它完全用字面和直接的解释，完全是没有办法的时候，我们才去进入说一个抽象的比喻式的解释。
And there are many instances like that in the scriptures.
的确，圣经里有很多这样的情形。
But not the majority of times.
但它不是绝大部分不是这样的。
The Hebraic or a Hebraic method, there's actually many different Hebraic methods, but I'm just giving you the basics of what they share in common and that are important for us to remember today.
那希伯来的解经法里面有很多种方式，那我只是跟你们分享其中的一点。
The Hebraic or a Hebraic interpretation also considers context. Context is critical.
那希伯来解经法里很重要的是要看上下文，上下文非常重要。
Because what we want to discern is what the passage meant to the original hearers or readers of it.
因为我们想要达到的目的是要看这段经文对那个当初的听众想要说什么。
Once we discern that, then there can be other levels of meaning.
当我们明白这个起初的意思的时候，我们还可以再去引申在其他多层的意思。
And the Holy Spirit can add lots of levels. You've probably all had the experience of God speaking very personally and intimately to you through different scriptures that pertain to Israel, but He can also use them in a very personal way.In your own walk and relationship with Him.
那你们可能都已经历过，那圣灵可以这同段经文，还可以添加给你很特殊，给你个人的或者是多层的意思。
But that doesn't cancel out the fundamental meaning and application to Israel.
但是这绝不是取消了原本那个最基本的对应用在以色列身上的那个意义。
Now, how did this Hebraic method of interpretation develop?
那希伯来的解经法是怎样发展出来的呢？
From the scriptures themselves.
是从圣经里自己原本在圣经里的。
The best interpreter of scripture is scripture itself.
那解释圣经最好的就是圣经自己。
And if we study how the prophets interpreted the writings of Moses,
如果我们来学习先知们怎么去解释摩西的书信的时候
，how later prophets interpreted earlier prophets,
或者后代的这些先知怎样去解释先辈的这些先知呢
？We can see that these principles that I've just shared are reflected over and over again within the scriptures themselves.
我们可以看到刚才我讲的这几点解经法其实在一再的在旧约里面出现。
Just one quick example that you can probably all relate to immediately.
Yeah, 你们有一个小例子，你们可能很快都可以记得。
When the prophet Daniel interprets the prophet Jeremiah 70 years of exile.
当先知但以理他解释先知耶利米的那个七十年的这个放逐的这个时期
Jeremiah had prophesied that Israel would be exiled for 70 years
耶利米他发预言说以色列要被放逐七十年
And Daniel took that literally 70 years years meant years
那但以理就很字面上的解释说这就是七十年
70 meant 70
七十就是七十年就是年
And so after 70 years Daniel prayed to God for Israel's restoration
所以在七十年之后但以理向神祷告求神恢复以色列
When new scripture was written by the prophets in Israel,
当以色列的先知们写出新的预言的时候
a chief test to determine whether it could be considered the inspired and authoritative word of God,
要决定他们所写的是否真的是由神那里来的话语的时候
was whether that new text was consistent with all prior text.
一个很重要的一个标志之一就是这个新写的这段经文是否和已经存在的经文是一致的。
In other words, we would take what had already been determined to be true and make sure that the new revelation was not inconsistent with it.
也就是说我们拿已经被证明是真实从神那里来的这些经文来证实这个新的预言和经文是否从神而来。
And this was like a sacred principle to the New Testament writers.
这对于新约的这些书信的作者来说是像一个非常神圣的一个原则。
They would not have written anything that would contradict or cancel out pre-existing scripture.
他们绝不会写出任何取消或者是和过去已经存在的圣经冲突的文字来。
And we see not only the New Testament authors, but Jesus himself. When Jesus interprets scriptures from the Old Covenant, he adheres to these principles.
不仅新约的作者们，即便是耶稣自己，当他引用或者解释旧约的经文的时候，他也遵循同样的原则。
Now he often does add symbolic layers and levels of meaning.
的确，耶稣常常会还增加一些那个抽象的这个比喻性的意义。
But he's amplifying them for a new kingdom reality. He's not canceling them out.
但是他用这些是放大引申到一个新的国度的意义上面，但是绝没有取消那个过去的那个意义。
And when realities have changed dramatically due to his crucifixion and resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit,
当这个世界因为耶稣的这个受死埋葬升天和圣灵的到来而完全改变的时候
The New Testament authors really do make that pretty clear.
那新约的这些作者将同样是非常清楚的
In the best language available in that day.
那用他们当时那个最好的这个文字
In showing how the reality that now exists due to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to the resurrection, how that fulfills old covenant realities.
通过那个时候的语言，他们写明了说，当下因为耶稣的复活和圣灵来到所这一切的成就是源于在旧约里面的。
Now, if you're wondering why I went into all of that, it's because these principles are essential for you to grasp today, but you rarely hear it preached about or taught about.
那我为什么这样花那么多时间？是因为我想让你们知道这一个原解经的原则是非常非常重要，但是今天你们却不常听见的。
This isn't Judaizing.
这不是说要你们都是回到那个犹太的束缚里面。
But it is understanding the scriptures the way that the writers of scriptures intended them to be understood.
而是，但是需要帮助你们理解圣经，正如当初的作者他们的本意。
Now, by the year 200, this method of Hebraic Bible interpretation had pretty much given way to a more symbolic interpretation approach.
但是在主后200年左右，这个起初的这个希伯来文解经法几乎已经完全被新的解经法这个抽象解经法给取代了。
Early church fathers determined that, for example, a book didn't refer to a literal book, a chair didn't refer to a literal chair, a mountain didn't refer to a literal mountain, it was all symbolic.
早期的教父他们 决议说不再用直接字面的解释，书不是书，山不是山了。
Now, if you're symbolizing the scriptures, you can see that it's just an easy, simple step to think that where the word says Israel, it really means church.
如果你把圣经所有的都抽象化的话，你就发现这其实就很容易使人觉得说讲到以色列地方就把它换成教会好了。
Bear in mind that most churches didn't have very many Jews in them or none at all by the year 200.
要记得在主后两百年的话，大多数教会已经有 很少或者甚至几乎没有犹太人在里面。
And as time went on, church fathers began to believe that God had rejected the Jews.
当时间越往后迁移的时候，这些教父们更加确信认为说神已经以教会取代了以色列。
Partly because so few of them were coming to Christ at that time.
那有一部分也是因为这个很少的犹太人在那个时候来信主了。
And also because Jerusalem itself was overrun by the Romans in the year 70.
也因为在主后七十年，耶路撒冷本身就已经被罗马人给毁了。
And so they looked at that historical reality.
所以他们看了这个历史上的一个事实。
And they pretty much universally took it as evidence that God was completely finished with the Jews and had turned to the Gentiles.
所以他们几乎一致地认为说，那这就是证据，说神已经跟以色列的约已经结束了，而且是外邦人已经取代他们了。
Now, they did get something right. They got right the part that God was doing something to embrace all nations on earth, that God was extending his covenant love to all Gentiles.
他们有一点理解的确是对的，也就是说神开始将他的恩典广布到所有的人然后也包括了这些外邦人。
But what they got wrong was that God had now completely, they mistakenly believed God had now completely replaced Israel with the church.
但是他们错在就错在以为神将以教会完全取代了以色列。
That all the prophetic promises and blessings and plans of God made to Israel now were inherited by the church.
错在他们以为神对以色列所做的一切的应许和预言都已经由教会来承接了。
In a manner that superseded or replaced all the Jewish people.
所以这所有的一切他们都已经超越了犹太人，已经取代了犹太人。
But they did leave something for the Jewish people, all the curses. The blessings belong to the church, but Israel got to keep the curses.
但是他们还留下一样给犹太人，就是所有的咒诅，也就是说他们把所有的赐福都归到教会身上，咒诅仍然留给以色列。
And as you probably know, that is called replacement theology.
那你们可能已经知道我讲的这个是叫做替代神学。
And we're going into detail about it because there is a new form of replacement theology today that we'll get to in a little bit.
那我们要详细的讲是因为今天又有一种新一派的取代神学我们还要提到。
And God wants his bride, his remnant, to be able to discern truth in love.
那神要他的渔民要他的、新娘要能够、以真理 来、见证真理而且是以爱
To be in right relationship with her Jewish Messiah King who's coming for her
叫他们能够和他们这位犹太人的这个、王要再来的这个王能够有一个、正确的关系
Along with replacement theology, another concept was developed and institutionalized in the Western Church.
在西方教会除了这个取代神学以外还有另一样也是渐渐地发展出来。
And that's the doctrine of divine contempt or divine disdain.
Divine disdain.
Yeah. it seems like a contradiction of terms, right? It's not exactly logical. That's because it's not exactly from the Lord.
那这个词我不太知道。就是说这是另外一个神学的思想，是就是说好像是说一个从天的一个对立。
Divine contempt referred to the misunderstanding that God held only contempt and disdain in his heart for the Jewish people.
那这个神学思想就是想到说是好像是说神对以色列唯一存留的就是一个神圣的一个厌恶。
And our church fathers taught that it was a Christian duty to treat Jewish people with disdain and contempt.
所以这些早期的教父他们就教导说这甚至是一个基督徒的本分要厌恶要敌对犹太人。
Because the Jews rejected Jesus.
就是因为犹太人拒绝了耶稣。
But they didn't realize that because of our rejection, salvation has gone to the nations.
但是他们却没有记住说正是因为犹太人拒绝耶稣使救恩临到了外邦人。
A very highly esteemed church father was called St. John Chrysostom.
那有一位很受尊崇的一位早期教父叫做圣约翰。
In the 300s, he wrote that the synagogue was worse than a den of thieves.
那在主后三百年，他曾经写到说，这个会堂们，就是犹太会所们，他们比贼窝还要糟糕。
Worse than a house of prostitution, and worse than a cave of wild beasts.
比妓女的这个窝，或者是比这个野兽的窝还要糟糕。
He wrote, and I quote, As for me, I hate the synagogue and I hate the Jews.
他写着明明白写着说我憎恨会场我憎恨犹太人。
Now, his attitude and the writings of others that built on his writings became formally integrated into the Western institutional church.
那他的这个态度，还有后人基于他的态度上所建立的这些思想，就渐渐的被西方的教会的就正式的接受了。
Through the Roman Emperor Constantine.
尤其是通过那个罗马大帝康斯坦丁。
Constantine made Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire. You had to be a Christian if you were a Roman citizen.
康斯坦丁大帝他使基督教成为这个罗马帝国的那个国教，也就是说你若是罗马的这个国民必须要是基督徒。
As you might imagine, that left a little bit of a problem for the Jews.
你可以想象这给犹太人带来多大的矛盾。
And so Emperor Constantine, in order to cut off all of the Jewish roots of Christianity, undertook certain measures, legal measures.
为了砍断基督教一切的这个希伯来的根，所以康斯坦丁大帝采取了一些手段。
He separated Easter from Passover.
他将这个 复活节 跟这个这个逾越节完全分开了。
Developed a new way of determining when Easter would occur each year.
他发展出一套新的决定每年这个复活节的时期应该在什么时候。
And he wrote that it was his great hope that his legacy that he would pass on to the church would be that the church throughout its future history would have nothing to do with the Jewish people.
他自己写到，他说他觉得他对教会最大的一个遗产就应该是使教会在未来完全和这个希伯来的历史切断。
And he instituted a whole bunch of other laws during the, what was called the First Council of Nicaea, the Christian Council.
所以在我们称为这个这个尼西亚这个第一大公会这个聚会里面，他还设立其他的一些这些律法。
At the Second Council of Nicaea, which took place in the 700s, it was determined that no Christian and no Messianic Jew would be allowed to celebrate any of the biblical feasts or observe the Sabbath on Saturday.
在主后700年，在尼西亚第二次的那个大公会议上面呢，他们就决定说。不允许这个犹太人基督徒参与任何庆祝这个圣经的节期的庆祝。
Among other things.
还有其他许多的命定。
So do you realize that from that point on, Jesus himself, as well as the New Testament apostles, could not have been part of the church?
其实你可以意识到，其实是从那个时候，即便是耶稣自己啊，甚至是那些新约的使徒们，他们都不能够成为教会的一员了。
And so anti-Jewish writings and specifically anti-Messianic Jewish legislation continued to increase and mount and grow over the centuries.
所以一世纪下来，那敌对犹太人，尤其是敌对那些信耶稣的犹太人的这些教导和著作就越来越多。
And we come to the Protestant Reformation.
然后我们又回到这个来到了这个新教的这个复兴运动。
In which the esteemed and beloved Martin Luther,
那我们很受尊崇的这个马丁路德
，as wonderful as he was, and I believe he's in glory.
尽管他很好，但我也相信他已经在神那里。
And the awesome truths that he restored to the church.
那他的确恢复教会里面很需要的这些真理。
We honor him for that.
我们也为此来尊崇他。
But he also advised that the church murder rabbis who continue to teach in synagogues.
但是他同时他也教导说应该叫也可以去杀害那些在犹太会堂里教导的这些拉比们。
When that didn't work, he advised that the synagogues all be burned.
当这个教导不起作用的时候，他甚至说应该是把这些会堂都烧毁。
That Jewish homes be torn down to the ground.
要把这些犹太人的家都摧毁。
And if that didn't work to get rid of the Jews, he said that we should chase them out. And as you know, the Holocaust specifically used Martin Luther's writings in order to get the Christian church in Germany to align with the political goals that it had.
其实你们已经知道，那个犹太人的那个大屠杀，就使用马丁路德的这个写作来。
Western Christians repented of what had taken place.
但是在大屠杀之后呢，很多西方的基督徒为当时所发生的事情而悔改了。
The Holocaust was like the climactic expression of 2,000 years of Christian anti-Semitism.
所以大屠杀就好像是这个2000年来这个反犹太这个情绪的一个巅峰。
And a dramatic shift in much of the body of Christ took place.
因此使这个基督的肢体里面也产生了一个很大的一个转变。
God began to restore Israel as a nation.
那之后神将恢复以色列成立国。
Now, bear in mind that Israel's restoration had actually begun before the Holocaust.
当然在大屠杀之前其实以色列的复国已经开始了。
But it really gained momentum after the Holocaust.
但的确是在大屠杀之后 它能够加速。
Personally, I believe the Holocaust was Satan's response to the beginnings of Israel's restoration.
我个人觉得说这个大屠杀实际上是撒旦试图阻止这个以色列复国的一个手段。
Because Satan is scared out of his mind at the notion of God bringing the Jewish people back to the land and then back to the Lord.
因为撒旦极其恐惧神要把以色列人带回以色列，而且使他们要带回神的面前。
But after the Holocaust, there was a period of about 60 years in which there was a good amount of favor toward the Jewish people on the part of the church.
那在大屠杀之后，有差不多六十年之久，从教会来说，其实对以色列有一个很好的一个给他们有一个恩惠。
The church began to read the scriptures more literally again.
那教会又开始更以一种直接和字面的方式去理解圣经。
There was a resurgence of interest in Hebraic methods of Bible interpretation.
那从有对希伯来解经法的这个恢复又产生了很多的兴趣。
And an understanding that the scriptures pertaining to Israel's prophetic blessings still apply.To Israel.
也有很多重新能够理解说圣经里面对以色列的一些预言仍然还要实现。
And we've seen that take place, most of us that are here.
我们在场的人我们都看到这些事情渐渐发生，我们也看到它的果效。
And as Israel has been restored as a nation, Israel is now being restored to the Lord, to the land first, then to the Lord, according to the prophets.
就正像先知所预言的，这个以色列人他们被复国，他们先回到那个土地上，然后他们也渐渐神也恢复他们回到神的面前。
There is the beginnings of revival taking place in Israel.
在以色列的确已经有这个复兴。
The beginnings.
复兴的开始。
When I first visited Israel in 1982, there were only about 150 Messianic Jews in the whole country. There were so few that we all knew who we were. We knew each other.
在1982年，我第一次去访问以色列的时候，那全以色列只有150几个这个信主的犹太人，所以我们都彼此认识。
But now there are approximately 20,000.
但是今天都有差不多20,000这样的信主的犹太人。
It's not a huge number, but in every city in Israel, Yeshua is worshipped and lifted up.
这个数字虽然不大，但是在以色列每一个城市都有人向耶稣来敬拜，来举手。
I live part-time in the Jerusalem area and part-time here in the U.S.
那我一半的时间住在耶路撒冷附近，一半时间我住在美国。
And as far as I know, there are at least 10 different Messianic congregations in which Messianic Jews are crying out, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
那就我所知10 personally know 10
there may be more.
就是我自己所知道的这十来个犹太人的会堂里面都在说是那奉主名来的是应当称颂的。
Not just the cities, but every major town and different kibbutzim and different villages and homes, Messianic Jews are gathering and worshiping the Messiah of Israel and praying for him to come to visit his people and to return.
不仅在每一个城市，在每一个小镇，甚至每一个这种公社，每一个家庭里，都有犹太人在祷告，称呼那个奉主名来的，也为以色列的前途祷告。
In Matthew 23, verse 39, Yeshua weeps over Jerusalem, and he says, "You will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'"
在马太福音二十三章那里，耶稣为耶路撒冷痛哭，他说：“你们不得见我，直到你们说那奉主名要来的是当称颂的。”
That's beginning to take place.
如今这一切正在成就。
Do you think the devil is scared?
你知道撒旦是又恐惧了吗？
He knows that when Yeshua returns, he is evicted from this planet, and Yeshua rules and reigns in kingdom glory, and he's confined to an abyss for 1,000 years.
因为他知道当耶稣再来的时候，他要被扔出这个地球，他要被关在深渊里面一千年。
Do you think he's going to try to contest this?
你说他会不会也拼命来抗拒呢？
Do you think he's going to try to get the church not to stand with Israel?
你说他会不会想法要教会不和以色列站在一起？
You know, most Jews come to faith through Gentile believers, not Jewish believers.
要知道大多数的犹太人信主是通过外邦人，而不是通过犹太人自己。
Now, in Israel, that isn't the case because there are so many Jews in Israel.
那的确在以色列不是这样子，因为那里大多数是犹太人。
But in the New Jersey area and throughout the United States, that's the case.
但是在新泽西甚至是全美国的确是这样子。
I came to faith largely through the witness of a Gentile believer. I didn't know any other Jewish believers until I'd walked with the Lord for several years.
那我之所以信主，正是因为一个外邦人。我知道我信主很多年以后，我都不认识一个信主的犹太人。
You know, the scripture says you've been called to provoke the Jews to jealousy.
圣经说你们被召是要叫那些犹太人妒忌了。
So that when we see the relationship that you have with our God, we want that too.
像我们看到你们和我们的神的那个亲密关系的时候，我们又嫉妒，所以我们想要。
And that's what happened to me. I saw somebody who was loving my God in a way I couldn't, and I got pretty darn upset about that.
这正是我身上所发生。当我看到一个外邦人和我的神有这么好的关系的时候，我很生气。
I literally thought, what is she doing with my God?
我当时真的这么想，我说她跟我的。回应他的祷告。
And that was a large, part of how I came to know Yeshua myself many decades ago.
这是我很多年前自己信主的里面有很大的一个原因。
So it shouldn't be terribly surprising that Satan has now unleashed in the church a new form of replacement theology.
所以今天撒旦在教会里又开始散布一种新的取代神学，这个并不出人意料。
It's often said that those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it.
我们常说，那不从历史里学到教训的话，一定会重复。
That's why I spent so much time talking about church history.
这是为什么我刚才讲那么多时间讲到教会的历史。
As it applies to theology concerning the Jewish people.
关于这个犹太人的这个神学方面。
One thing that we learn from history is that, as Jesus said in John chapter 8, that Satan is the father of lies.
我们从历史里面可以学到一件事，就是耶稣在约翰福音里面讲到说，撒旦是一切谎言之父。
The way that he has in...
Sorry.
That's okay.
Revise my translation. 撒旦是说谎人的父。
Interrupt me anytime. Thank you. He has inspired Christian anti-Semitism through lying.
通过谎言，撒旦叫这个基督徒形成一个反犹主义。
The father of lies, lies.
所以那说谎人的父，他一定是说谎的。
And his goal is murder. Jesus says in John chapter, same chapter, he was a murderer from the beginning.
那他就像耶稣所说的，他的目标是要谋害，他从起初就是要谋害的。
The lies associated with the new replacement theology have as their goal murder.
那和这个新的取代神学所连接的这个谎言，它的目的就是要谋杀。
Now, I don't think that Christians who subscribe to this new theology have in their mind the genocide of the Jewish people. I don't think that at all. But I believe that's Satan's goal.
那当然我不认为说是那些信奉这个新取代神学的基督徒他们的脑子里想的就是要谋杀犹太人，但我知道这是撒旦的目标。
Because if he can wipe out Israel, wipe out the Jews, then there is nobody to cry out. There are no Jews to cry out, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai.
因为他知道若是他能够杀尽犹太人，那么就没有人可以就没有犹太人可以去成就这个预言说那奉主名来的是应当称颂的。
And Yeshua does not return.
这样子耶稣就不能再来。
And so, what the enemy is using now to develop a new Christian anti-Israel theology is the Arab-Palestinian-Israeli conflict.
那如今撒旦所使用来形成一个新的这个反犹主义的，在基督徒里面产生的新反犹主义，就是利用这个以色列和巴勒斯坦的这个冲突。
This new theology is a form of fulfillment theology.
那这个新的神学实际上是这个成就神学的一个形式。
It's sometimes called Palestinian Christian theology or Christian Palestinianism.
那有的时候你也可以听到说，可能说是巴勒斯坦主义的基督教。
To put it very simply,
很简单的来说，
fulfillment theology teaches that all the prophetic promises to Israel were fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ himself.
那所谓的成就神学就是说对以色列的一切的应许和预言已经在耶稣基督一个人身上完全成就了。
One of the main scriptures that it's based on is Matthew 5:17, in which Jesus says that he has come to fulfill the law and the prophets.
那他们使用的一节这个支持的经文就是马太福音5:17里，耶稣自己说：“我来是要成就一切的律法。”
And that is a wonderful truth. It's glorious. He does fulfill the law and the prophets.
这的确是一个很荣耀的一个真理。的确，耶稣他成就了先知和律法。
We all find our fulfillment in him.
我们都在耶稣里面看到这个成就。
But you don't build a theology on one or two isolated scriptures taken out of context.
但是你不能把这个一两段的这个独立的经文抽离它的原文而去建造一个整个的神学构架。
The reality that Jesus has fulfilled the law and the prophets becomes kind of like the lens through which all of Scripture is interpreted in this new anti-Semitic theology.
在这样一个反犹的新的神学里面，那么这一句就说关于耶稣已经成就这个先知和律法的这一句，这一个事实，成为他看所有事情的一个眼镜。
Fulfillment theology teaches that Jesus himself has fulfilled all of the promises to the extent that, and I'd like to quote.
那这个成就神学就讲到说，耶稣成就所有一切对以色列的应许。
One of their leading scholars, who is a seminary professor at one of America's most highly esteemed seminaries, evangelical seminary.
他们的一个领头的一个神学家是美国一个非常有名非常受尊崇的一个神学院的教授。
This is what he writes. The New Testament relocates the Holy Land and expectations once held for Jerusalem and discovers them in Christ himself.
那他讲到大意就是说这个新约他将这个圣地和所有对耶路撒冷的这个期待都重新把它移到耶稣基督里面。
The New Testament removes the meaning of land as land.
他说新约把这个圣地这个意义已经给移除了。
There does not exist a holy land or holy city or holy mountain because all prophecy is now fulfilled in Jesus.
因此再也没有什么圣地、圣城或者圣山，因为所有的预言已经在耶稣里面成就了。
Now, this...Fulfillment theology, as I said, is specifically rooted in the Arab-Palestinian-Israeli conflict.
那么这个所谓的成就神学是很独特的，是扎根于这个以色列和巴勒斯坦的冲突里面。
I want to point out that there are some Arab Christians and Palestinian Christians who love the Lord and who love the Jewish people and love Israel, but they are a tiny minority.
我要指出的是，的确有一些阿拉伯的、巴勒斯坦的基督徒，他们爱主也爱以色列人，但是他们是非常非常少数的。
And what I'm sharing tonight is not in any way to cause division among brethren.
而且我今天晚上分享的绝不是想要在弟兄之间造成纷争。
I am simply going to share facts that you can look up yourself. They're on their websites, in their books.
但是我所分享的只是我只想分享一些事实，你们可以到他们的书籍和到他们的网站上自己去看。
In the DVDs, just all every form of media imaginable.
在他们所发行的一切的这个媒体里面，你可以找到。
Christian Palestinians state very clearly this, they would probably be happy to know I'm sharing this, that their specific goal is to undercut, undermine, stop Christian support of Israel.
那这个所谓巴勒斯坦主义的基督教，他们其实他们可能也喜欢我来分享，因为他们的终极目的是要切断一切对基督徒对以色列的支持。
They aim to become a counterforce to Christian Zionism.
所以他们的目标是要成为一个对抗这个基督教锡安主义的一个力量。
And so they teach that the Bible is to be interpreted mainly symbolically.
所以他们也教导说，圣经主要应该是用一种抽象和取代式的方法来解释。
Not according to the Hebraic approach to Scripture that is used by Jesus himself.
而他们教导不要用，即使耶稣自己都使用那种希伯来的解经法。
But rather metaphorically and allegorically.
而是他们建议用比喻，用比方。
And at the same time, they strenuously deny that they believe in replacement theology.
但同时他们又非常固执的来说，他们并不是相信一个取代神学。
Because this time, it's not Christians who replace Israel, it's Jesus Christ himself who replaces Israel.
因为这一次他们不是在说是基督徒或者教会取代以色列，他们会说耶稣自己取代了以色列。
Because all the promises to Israel are fulfilled in him.
因为他们教导说对以色列一切的应许都已经在耶稣里面成就了。
So any promises about the Jews being restored to their land are interpreted as referring to the land that's in the heavenly realm that is fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ.
所以若是有任何教导预言说以色列要归回他圣地，他们就会解释说那是因为这个在天上的这个圣地已经在耶稣里面。
So Christians only indirectly supersede Israel to the extent that you and I are in Christ, and that is a reality, and we are seated in heavenly places with Him. That is a reality, right? And so, to the extent that we are seated in heavenly places with Him, and we are fulfilled in Him. we only indirectly replace Israel this time.
所以这一次教导这种教导的话，那么基督徒是间接的来取代以色列，因为我们是在耶稣基督里面，所以也是圣经讲说我们与他一同在天上，所以这样在基督里面，我们间接的取代了以色列。
I've talked personally to many Palestinian Christians.
我亲自和许多这个巴勒斯坦地的这些基督徒交谈过。
I interviewed a number of them for my book.
因为我的书写书的过程中，我还和他们面谈了一些。
And I've done weeks of research through their writings and from their scholarly treatises all the way down to their YouTubes.
我花了很多时间来去研读他们的这些教导的材料，甚至是包括他们的 YouTube 的这些录像。
And they very openly state that they do not believe that much, some of them, okay, I don't want to...over, you know, generalize, but a substantial number of them do not believe that the Hebrew scriptures are the inspired word of God.
他们会公开的声明说他们当然这是大多数却不是全部，他们公开声明说他们并不相信希伯来文的这个旧约是出于神的。
They believe that they are Jewish fables written to cast the Jewish people in a good light.
他们认为那个是犹太人的预言，是来帮助犹太人就是他们为他们使他们有一个很好的形象。
Some of the more educated scholars, okay, these are scholars and Western scholars that are cooperating and collaborating with Palestinians.
那就是有一些其实很受到很好教育的一些学者，包括西方的一些学者，他们是和这个巴勒斯坦的这些巴勒斯坦主义的基督徒们在连接合作。
Some of them will say that some parts of the Old Testament are inspired, but other parts are not.
所以他们有些人就会说那旧约里面有的部分是的确是神从神而来，有的部分不是。
And I'm talking only about evangelicals now, okay?
我现在只是讲了福音派的这个基督徒。
They most commonly reject the story of Jericho.
他们最常见的就是他们拒绝那个耶利哥的这个事情。
And do not believe that God ever led Israel into the promised land.Through the destruction of Jericho.
所以他们就不相信说神因为摧毁了耶利哥，带着以色列人进入的这个应许之地。
Because that reminds them a great deal of what they think and they perceive Israel has done to the Palestinians.
因为这件事实就提醒他们，就是他们认为以色列对巴勒斯坦地的这一个占领。
They teach that Israel causes extreme injustice to Palestinians.
他们的教导里说是以色列对巴勒斯坦人造成了极大的不公正。
And that God would not possibly restore Israel in a way that would cause such harm to Palestinians.
所以神绝不会因为以色列对巴勒斯坦人造成的伤害，神怎么就是不会去恢复以色列？
Now it's getting late. We don't have time to go into it in a lot of detail. My new book does go into a lot of detail.
因为时间缘故，我没有办法继续太详细的讲。那在我的书里都写到了。
But suffice it to say that the perception of what is taking place, okay, the perception of how Israel treats the Palestinians is not entirely accurate.
但是我们可以概括的说，那大就是说公众对以色列对巴勒斯坦的这个处理上面这个造成的这个印象是不准确的，不正确的。
The Palestinian media is heavily censored.
那巴勒斯坦地本身的他们的媒体是很严格的进行过滤。
The information that Palestinian Christians have access to is extremely censored by their government.
所以巴勒斯坦的基督徒他们所能接触到的这些信息是被巴勒斯坦政府非常严格的过滤掉了。
And so they are not presented much with the reality that the whole conflict that continues to exist is basically the result of Palestinian Islamists refusing to accept Israel's right to exist.
所以他们就没有办法看到这个事实，就是说，实际上巴以冲突的这个关键在于是这个巴勒斯坦的这个伊斯兰的武装组织，他们拒绝接受以色列的。
Palestinian believers are under a great deal of pressure from their Muslim compatriots and their Islamist neighbors.
那巴勒斯坦的基督徒，他们在他们的伊斯兰这些邻居和这个国人的有遭受到非常大的压力。
Remember, they're just a small minority within an Islamist society.
要记得他们是在一个伊斯兰的社会里面是一个极小的一个少数。
And they're faced with a very difficult decision many times.
很多时候他们面对的是非常困难一个抉择。
They either side with Palestinian nationalism.
他们或者选择是和这个巴勒斯坦这个民族主义选择站在一边。
Or with a biblical perspective that would accept Israel's right to exist, and they would suffer for that.
或者他们可以选择接受这个圣经的教导和以色列站在一边，但是因此而遭受迫害。
And nearly all choose to side with Palestinian nationalism, which necessarily involves the destruction of Israel.
所以几乎他们所有的都选择和巴勒斯坦民族主义站在一起，也就是说他们必须接受要摧毁以色列。
Now let us not be too quick to condemn them. First, let us not condemn them. Okay, first of all, they are our brothers and sisters in the Lord.
那我们不能够跳下去就立刻要去指责他们，因为他们的确是我们组内的弟兄姐妹。
Second of all, who knows but that we Americans may not be faced with a similar choice before too long.
第二，要知道我们美国人自己，我们也许不久之后也要面对这样一个抉择了。
So, how do we respond to Palestinian Christians?
那么我们怎样来回应这些巴勒斯坦的这些基督徒呢？
In love.
以爱。
God tells us to bless our enemies. Our enemy is not our brother or sister. Our enemy is the enemy.
那神告诉我们要甚至要祝福我们的敌人，那我们的弟兄姐妹就已经不是我们的敌人了。
We need to realize that to be pro-Israel does not necessarily mean to be anti-Palestinians.
我们要记得爱以色列并不等同于要憎恨巴勒斯坦。
I do not believe that the Palestinians are, as some have rather unkindly said, an invented people group.
那我并不同意有些人所说的，说这个巴勒斯坦人实际上是一个后来发明出来一个国家。
They are created in the image of God.
因为他们也是按照神的形象所造的。
The majority of them really do just want to live and just have their families and earn a living.
那大多数他们的确只不过是想要一个平安的能够居住在那里，有照顾他们的家庭。
But they are unwilling or unable to control the extremists.
但是他们不愿意，或者说他们无法控制住那些极端主义者。
And the Christians have been kind of caught in the middle.
而这些基督徒他们被在这个冲突之中就夹在中间。
Because of what had been widespread Christian support for Israel for several years,
因为在过去的一段时间里，那因为基督徒对以色列产生了一个广泛的支持。
Palestinians felt that the only way that they could get Christian attention from the nations was to expose their plight, expose all of the injustices they feel they are suffering.
那所以巴勒斯坦就觉得说，他们为了要得到基督徒的这个关注，他们的方法就是说，他们必须要宣扬他们所受到这些痛苦和逼迫。
They put all the blame on Israel, but no blame on the Islamists.
但是他们把所有的谴责都加在以色列之上，却不谴责这个伊斯兰的极端主义。
They are now sending spokesmen and preachers and teachers all over the world to spread their new theology.
他们现在正在积极地向全世界派遣这些教师、这些代言人啊、这些啊、所谓这个啊、这个他们来传播这个取代神学。
Some churches, evangelical churches that used to be very pro-Israel, are now turning anti-Israel because they are embracing Christian Palestinianism.
以前的很支持以色列这些福音派的这个教会，现在却变成了极其反对以色列的，因为他们拥抱这个巴勒斯坦主义的基督教。
In the most recent surveys of evangelical churches in America indicate that half of evangelical churches are now pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel.
在最近的这个对这个美国福音派教会的一个问卷调查里，结果发现一半以上的这些福音派教会现在已经变成了是敌对以色列，而是支持巴勒斯坦主义的。
I say that God wants His people to rise to a higher level where we're not anti or pro this or that, but we have God, a God perspective, a kingdom perspective that embraces both people groups.
那我说神要我们 是能够超越在、是为这个敌对那个之上，而是说因为我们应该有个国度的眼光
that stands for social justice and the fulfillment of biblical prophecy.
这个眼光既能够支持这个社会的公义，但是同时也能够支持、神圣经里对以色列的这个预言的成就。
And so how can we bless Palestinian Christians?
那么我们怎么来祝福这些巴勒斯坦的基督徒呢？
Besides loving them, besides praying for them, and they do need our prayers.
当然有爱他们，为他们祷告，因为他们极其需要我们的祷告。
We can bless them not by aligning with them against Israel.
我们祝福他不是通过和他们站在一起来抵挡以色列。
But by gently, in love, yet boldly guiding them into truth.
而是、以爱心能够去，但能够大胆的和引导他们进入真理。
So that they don't heap curses upon themselves.
这样他们才不至于招致咒诅给他们自己。
Because God said those who bless Israel are blessed, and those who curse Israel are cursed.
因为神说那祝福以色列的得祝福，咒诅以色列的要得咒诅。
We can lead them and go with them to the cross.
我们可以引他们指向，将他们指向那十字架。
I believe God wants to transform them. I believe God wants revival among Palestinian believers.
我相信神想要改变他们，想要在这个巴勒斯坦的犹太基督徒中间要兴起一个复兴。
I believe He wants us to pray for them to be emboldened to preach the gospel, which very, very few do out of intimidation by Islamists.
我相信神要我们借着祷告能够勇敢的是宣扬这个福音，因为这个穆斯林的这个逼迫是很少有人有这个胆量去做。
And I really believe it's coming.
我的确相信主马上要再来。
I believe God's got healing ahead for them.
我相信神为他们已经预备了医治。
I believe that God has healing ahead for the whole Arab.Middle East.
我相信神对中东对这个阿拉伯世界已经预备有医治了。
But it's going to take the prayers of the church worldwide.
但这需要全世界的教会一起为此来祷告。
It's going to take praying for those of us who live in Israel as we meet with and worship in small reconciliation meetings with Arab Christians and Palestinian Christians.
也需要你们为我们这些住在以色列人祷告，当我们和这些巴勒斯坦的基督徒接触，跟他们有和好的机会。
But God is slowly doing it, and I believe He is going to complete the good work that He's begun.
但神已经在慢慢进行这个工作，我们也知道神他定义要做成，一定要成就。
Remember that in the book of Ruth,
在路德记里面
God used an Arab woman, Ruth,
那神用这个阿拉伯的一妇女就是路德
together with a Jewish woman, Naomi,
连同这个犹太妇人拿俄米
to provide what is probably the most beautiful example in all of scripture of what the one new man looks like.
为我们提供这个圣经里面可能最美好的这样一个新人的这个例子。
And time's kind of gotten away from us. I was going to go into it just a bit.
时间飞逝啊，我可能只有一点点时间来讲。
We'll just kind of cut to the, well, just...
就直接进到这个路德记的它的中心是什么
We see that Ruth and Naomi each blessed the other.
我们看到路德和拿俄米彼此祝福
Ruth left her gods, realized that to left her gods in Moab, realized that to go forward with the one true God, she would have to go forward with Naomi.
那路德他离弃他在本国的这些偶像他知道要拜那个真神他必须要和拿俄米同去
In the book, Naomi symbolizes Israel.
那这个书里面其实拿俄米代表的是以色列
And Ruth symbolizes the true church.
那路德 也代表了这个教会
Okay, for the book, first we interpret it literally, right? But there's also a symbolic meaning.
所以我们解释的时候，先从字面上解释，然后再从抽象的解释。
And as Ruth and Naomi go forward together as a type of one new man,
当路德和拿俄米一同回去，就成为一个新人。
Ruth gives up her rights, and then Naomi gives up her rights each to the other.
路德放弃了他的权利拿俄米也放弃为他们为彼此放弃自己的权利
And as a result, Ruth is redeemed by a near kinsman redeemer.
结果就是路德被他的这个就是这个救赎主最近的亲属给就赎买出来
Boaz, who's a foreshadow of Messiah.
波阿斯是弥赛亚的一个预表。
As a result of that, a baby is born.
从他们生出一个婴儿来。
To Ruth and Boaz, named Obed.
他们为他取名叫俄贝德。
And as you know, Obed is in the direct lineage of King David, who's in the direct lineage of Jesus the Messiah.
我们知道后来俄贝德是大卫王的祖父，然后大卫王又是我们主耶稣的他的一个先祖。
And so we see, and again, it's detail on it in Israel's anointing.Gentile together to prepare the way of Messiah's first coming.
但是我们要看到的就是中心就是神用外邦人和犹太人一起来预备这个耶稣就是弥赛亚的到来。
In the same manner, similarly, he is going to use Jew and Gentile together to prepare the way for his second coming.
同样，他也要用外邦人和犹太人一起预备他的第二次再来。
And so that's what God is calling upon us tonight to consider.
所以我想这是神今天晚上呼召我们来思想的事情。
Will we be part of the one new man that he's bringing together?
我们是不是愿意成为这个他要成就的这个一个新人里面的一份?
Will we stand firm in the end, stand firm to the end in truth, not be deceived?
我们能否在最后的时候仍然在真理中站稳脚跟不被蒙蔽
Remain at peace
我们要在这个平安之中
And will we together reflect his, His glory, His love, and His passion.
我们是否能够一起来反映出、反射出他的荣耀、他的热情、他的爱
？For both Israel and the nations.
为了以色列，也为了万国。
As the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come."
圣灵和心腹都说来。
Amen. It's a little bit late.
虽然有点晚了。
And so rather than have any type of personal ministry, I'm just going to ask us to stand and wait on the Lord for a moment and, we'll just see what He wants to do with us corporately for a few minutes.
请大家站起来，我们一起等候神，看看神要做什么。
Lord, I thank you for your word of truth.
主为你真理的话语感谢你。
Lord, I thank you that you have called us to such a time as this.
主感谢你叫我们呼召在当今的时刻。
Lord, we thank you that your plans are altogether glorious and your ways are altogether perfect.
主感谢你，你的计划是全然荣耀。
Lord, we present ourselves before you and we say, here we are, God, use us.
我们在你面前说神，我们在这里，请使用我们。
Lord, I pray a blessing on my brothers and sisters here tonight.
主，我为我这里的弟兄姐妹们，祝福。
Of renewed fire, renewed passion for both Jews and Arabs.
使他们有更新的火焰，有更新的热情，是给以色列人，也给阿拉伯人。
To see that Ruth, Naomi, one new man between Arab and Jew in the Middle East.
要看见在中东的一个新人，就是路德和拿俄米，就是阿拉伯人和以色列人。
I pray, Lord.God, that you would walk among us and that you would impart your heart for the reconciliation of Palestinian and Israeli believers.
求主在我们中间行走，赐给我们你的心意，就是叫阿拉伯人、巴勒斯坦人和以色列人的和好。
Lord, that your fire of holy love would intensify.
叫你的圣洁爱火能够更燃烧起来。
That you would cause us to be wise as serpents, yet harmless as doves.
使我们灵巧像蛇，寻良像鸽子。
Lord, for those who are called to, as intercessors, Lord, release on them, God, a deeper, deeper fire, Lord. Go even deeper, Lord.
主使你所呼召的代祷者们，你在他们身上释放更大、更高的火，使他们进入那水深之处。
Deeper revelation.
给他们更深层的启示。
Your heart of fire, God.
因为你心中是有那样的爱火。
Lord, for those that are, called to teach, those that are, that you've given gifts of communication.
那你所呼召做教导的，你所赐那个沟通的恩赐的。
And Lord, you've actually called us all to teach because most teaching is done simply through one-on-one communication.
其实主，你呼召我们每一个人都要教导，因为大多数的教导是从一对一中间开始。
Lord, impart the tongue of the learned on these that are here tonight.
像主求主分赐给我们每一个人这样子恩赐。
Lord, to stand firm in truth and love.
叫我们在爱里面，在真理里面站稳。
Joyfully.
叫也充满喜乐。
Till the end.
直到你来。
In Jesus' name.
奉耶稣的名。
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
神祝福你们。
Amen.